Welcome to the Katie Bulmer Cook Podcast Show. Fitness, workouts, nutrition, business, interviews, entrepreneurship, and of course, plenty of northern banter. Here she is, your host, Katie Bulmer Cook.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the podcast. I really hope you've enjoyed the episodes that you've been listening to recently. Thanks for all the feedback on Facebook and Twitter. If you're tuning in for the first time, you can find me on Facebook at Katie Bulmer Cook and then on Twitter at Katie Bulmer 1. And I'm also looking for new questions that you want us to pose to my guests, and then tell us if there's any particular guests you'd like us to get on the show. So, without any further ado, please can I introduce you to this episode's guest, the lovely Nicola Joyce. Nicola, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Katie. Thanks for having me on.
So, can we just start by giving the listeners a little bit of background on yourself, how you started out in the fitness industry, and how that got you to where you are right now?
Yeah, I just wanted to check that you can actually understand my accent, because we're kind of on Skype from completely different ends of the country. Yeah. I'm right down south. Can you hear me? Can you understand me?
Loud and clear.
Right. Okay, well, for those of you listening that don't know me, don't know who I am, I'm kind of better known as the Fit Writer. I'm a copywriter, which means that I help my clients, fit pros and brands, with content. But I haven't always been doing what I do as a freelancer. I'm celebrating 10 years in business this year, but I'm older than I might look, so that's not my whole career. It's quite a long story, but I'm happy to tell it if we've got time.
Absolutely, fire away.
Everyone loves a backstory, after all. So I started working in-house after I left uni. At uni, I did a degree in English and also a master's in English as well. So I studied English. My first few jobs were actually in events and events marketing. And a lot of that role was marketing and copywriting. And it was back in the day before social media was really very big. In fact, it was kind of before web content was as big as it is now. So a lot of the writing I did was sales letters, sales pages, invites, a lot of brochure copy and things like that. So real good training there. And it was a very, very big company, big publishing house. After a good few years doing that, I was made redundant, which was nice. But actually, in hindsight, it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me, which I know a lot of people say when they're made redundant. And at that point, I realised I'd always wanted to write as a freelancer, and I decided it was now or never. I was actually, at the time, about a month away from swimming the English Channel. That's another story.
What?
And I know! We'll get to that, Katie. And I thought to myself, look, if I cannot get my foot in the door with that as a hook, I'm basically never going to make it as a sport and fitness writer, am I? You know? Wow. So I pitched that story to magazines. I wanted to work at the time as a journalist. I didn't really know that copywriting was a thing you could do as a freelancer. So yeah, as a journalist, I pitched that first person story to magazines. It got picked up actually by a few publications, and that got the ball rolling, really. So over the years, as I said, I've been in business 10 years this year as a freelancer. I've moved away really from journalism and features. I now do a lot more copywriting for sport and fitness brands and for fit pros. Still a little bit of features writing, but not much. I would say maybe 90% of my work is copywriting. Cool. And how I got to where I am now? Don't know, really. a lot of tenacity, a lot of networking online and offline, delivering on my promises, really never missing a deadline, and being pretty damn good at what I do.
Yeah, cool. So one of the things I wanted to talk to you about on the podcast was your bodybuilding career.
Yeah.
Before we actually met in person at Fit4 just a couple of weeks ago, I'd been following you for a long time on Instagram. All your amazing pictures, all your gym selfies. Oh. I love that stuff. And I think, you know, a lot of people look at people who do bodybuilding and think, wow, it takes such dedication, and really admire how much dedication it takes. So tell us a little bit about that. How long did it take you to get in such amazing shape? What were your biggest challenges?
Yeah, well, that's another story, really. I wasn't always a competitive bodybuilder. As I said a little bit earlier, my background is in endurance sport. Mm. I have swum the English Channel twice, as it goes.
Twice?
Yeah, I thought I would. You know, I live right here. It's just on my doorstep. I can see it from my window. I've also been an endurance runner. You know, I've done the marathon thing. I've done the triathlon thing as well. So that was my background, really. But a few years ago, well, it'd be 4 years ago now, I decided to work with a PT online to do a kind of body recomp sort of diet, because I was kind of interested to see what was lurking underneath the endurance physique. And 8 weeks later, after a bit of a cut, it turns out that what was lurking under there was quite symmetrical, quite balanced, and quite muscular. And the coach, bless her, she's now a very good friend of mine, the coach said she thought that my physique would do quite well in a bodybuilding comp. Mm. And I had no idea what one of those was, but being as competitive as I am, her words were like a red rag to a bull, and off I was on my next challenge. And I did very well in my first competitive year. I got through to the finals of two of the three drug-free federations in the UK. Came second at one of those British finals. So, yeah, did very well. And it's really, again, gone from there. And I'm now in my fourth competitive year.
Who was your coach?
My coach, a lady called Kat Miller. Do you know her?
The name doesn't ring a bell, but I just thought for anybody.
She was over here at the time. She's a New Zealander. I think Kelly Rennie knows her quite well. Obviously, they're both from New Zealand, so I'm sure they see each other all the time. Kat's from New Zealand. She's now back down that way, but she's living in Australia now.
Okay. No, I just wondered, like, for anybody that's listening and thought, I wouldn't mind doing something like this. We could find out who your coach was and where you started.
Well, I've worked with a few coaches. I'm not actually being coached by anybody this year. I've decided that I really should know enough by now to at least try and prep myself. So I worked with Kat Miller my first year, and then nobody in my second year. And then last year I worked with a lady called Vicky Bradley, and she is over here. So, yeah.
Okay. So I think dieting plays a massive part in that, like, without a doubt. And any diet change is hard, whether it's you doing, like, prepping for a bodybuilding competition, whether it's Mrs. Jones just trying to give up some of the things that shouldn't be eating. Everything's hard when it's changed.
Yeah.
How do you stay on it? What is it that stops you falling off the wagon? What's your
fire? It's probably easier in some ways for people like us competitive bodybuilders. It's probably easier in some ways for us than it is for Mrs. Jones, because we've got that massive goal, which is quite frankly terrifying, you know, standing on stage in your pants, whereas Mrs. Jones might not have that goal. So, you know, it's kind of maybe easier for her to say, oh, I could just have a bit of that, a little bit of this or whatever. But from my point of view, I mean, I'm not a coach, I'm not a PT, I wouldn't pretend to be, but from my experience as a bodybuilder, I would say you've got to have a plan, and you've got to know what that plan is, make it visible. I mean, I have my diet either written on a chalkboard or literally stuck to the side of my fridge. You've got to know what it is, otherwise you won't be able to stick to it. And you've got to be able to track it as well. I use my Fitness Pal. I'm sure a lot of people listening do. But again, if you can't track it, you can't measure it, and you can't know what's working and what's not. And then preparation is key, really. You know, get into a routine that fits with your lifestyle in terms of prepping your food, having things ready and easy to grab. Make it easier to succeed than it is to not succeed.
Yeah,
if that makes sense. So, you know, don't have stuff in the house if you know it's going to be too much of a temptation for you. It's not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of being practical. You know, have chopped up veggies in your fridge ready to grab, so they are easier to grab than a packet of crisps or whatever. You know, just make it easy for your brain. Have backup plans, I think, for things that might potentially trip you up, like eating out or getting stuck, I don't know, stuck on a long drive and stopping at service stations or whatever. And I think it's important as well to celebrate all the little victories. We're so hard on ourselves, aren't we? But as you say, it's a massive thing trying to make any kind of lifestyle and dietary change. So congratulate yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. If you get to the end of one day, brilliant. Don't wait for a whole run of days to get to the end of a week or something. Everything's a victory and all those little things will build up until kind of in the groove.
I really like that saying, make it easier to succeed than not to succeed.
I hope it makes sense. I know what I mean. I mean, your brain will go for the easiest option, won't it? Especially if you're tired or emotional or, I don't know, eating out of some sort of emotion, whatever it is. Mm. So, yeah, just make it easy for your brain, really.
And I know you said that in some times when you've prepped for a competition, you've had a coach, sometimes you haven't had a coach. Have you found any difference in having that extra accountability as to how easy it is to stick to things?
In some ways it's easier because you've got to check in with your coach, and I'm a very kind of, I think I'm a very coachable person. I'm very biddable. I'm like a little dog, really, you know. If I do something right and you tell me I'm good, then I get really excited. And I love to follow structure and a plan. But at the same time, I don't know, I think I found this year prepping myself, just being able to experiment with things and have a little bit more flexibility has worked for me this year. I mean, well, the proof of it will be on stage, won't it, whether or not it has. But I think it depends on the person, really. But certainly accountability is key.
Yeah. What does, like, a typical week look like for you in terms of training? How many times a day do you train? How many days a week?
Well, it depends very much on where I am in my prep. But at the moment, I'm training, I do weights 5 days a week, and I do cardio quite a lot at the moment. I do cardio most days, except I probably won't do it on leg days, just because, as you know, having you've just done a leg session, you don't really want to then go and, you know, mash your legs up with extra cardio as well. And I do the typical bodybuilder split thing by body parts.
Cool. So let's talk a little bit more about your writing career. Have you had any major highlights? What really stands out for you? You've been in business for 10 years. What have been your big career highlights?
Well, I've worked with some really nice big clients, which I suppose is always a bit of a coup as a freelancer. I've written for the Washington Post. I write for Muscle and Fitness. Some of my copywriting clients are people like Cymax and Bulk Powders and Speedo, people like that.
But wow.
Yeah. It's amazing how there's a little network of freelancers. We're all doing all the work you're reading, but of course your name's not on it. But to be honest, as cheesy as it sounds, every job really is a highlight because I love being freelance. I love the kind of hustle for work, and I love knowing that if I attract a client or win a pitch, it's all down to me, you know, it's all down to me, my reputation, my skills, even down to my own ability to market myself and kind of dominate SEO for what I need to be out there for fitness copywriting. So yeah, I love all my work, really. I have got a funny story that I've prepared for you, if you want it.
Oh, yes, please. I like a funny story.
It's quite an old one now, back from when I was doing a lot of journalism. I don't know if any of your listeners are into triathlon. Maybe a few more of them are now, having watched it on the Commonwealth Games. But there's a triathlete called Tim Don. He was one of our Olympians and Commonwealth triathletes. And I was sent to interview him by, I think, Triathletes World magazine, and he was deep in training at the time, so I had to go up to Loughborough to the track there to train to interview him. And he's such a nice guy, but you know, he was like, you know, I have got training to do, so it needs to fit in. I was like, yeah, absolutely, don't let me hold you up. So I ended up interviewing him whilst running around the track with him, clearly not doing his intervals, but I ran with him during his rest period, which was a sprint for me, and then he went off into his sprints, and then we hadn't quite finished the interview, so he was like, come with me, you know, we'll carry it on now. I was like, okay, where are we going? I ended up perched on the side of an ice bath whilst Tim Don was in the bath, recovering from his session, and he did have the decency to say to me, because I'm being interviewed by you, I'll wear some pants.
How kind of him.
Delightful. But mind you, it was an ice bath, so I probably wouldn't have seen much.
That's time management taking a whole new level, isn't
right?
it? As a cool story. Do you think you'll do any more triathlons?
Do you know what? It's funny. I have my endurance sport self is still there. I do ride my bike sometimes for cardio. Listen to me. I'm so bodybuildery for cardio. I don't run. Actually, I do. I run hill sprints, but I don't go out, you know, jogging. I don't swim. I just, you couldn't pay me enough money to get in any water. I think I've just overdone it.
Yeah.
But I do love it. It was a fantastic sport. I really, really enjoyed it. So never say never. That's what I say about all my sports. Never say never about doing the channel again, you know.
Wow, I'd be really impressed. That is impressive. To do it once is amazing, but to do it twice and consider a third.
Well, that, do you know what? I think that's partly why I did it twice, because I wanted to prove to myself that it wasn't a fluke, and that, I don't know, I've not had children, but I would imagine it's a little bit like having a baby. You're kind of like, do you know what, I can't even remember anything about that first time. It was so horrendous, and I was half out of it, and it went by in a flash. So I think I'll do it again, just so that I can actually kind of be with it a bit more.
Well, I hear a lot of people who've got two children say something very similar. You know, I totally forgot, but I've still not forgotten. There'd be no second child, no second swim of the channel for me.
My sister's the same. Mm-hmm.
That's the sort of pain that never goes away. So, sorry, I told you I would do this, totally off on a tangent.
That's all right.
Back to writing, and I know you write content for fitness professionals, for their websites, newsletters, etc. So, what three things should every fitness professional be doing when it comes to creating good content?
Do you know what? I tried to narrow it down to three because I knew you'd ask me this, and I haven't managed to. So,
as many as you like.
As many as I like. I would say, okay, practical kind of logistical things. I would say have a blog. They're so easy to set up. You know, you can use a free platform like WordPress. You can get going right now. That's what I did when I decided to do a blog, which ironically was through some people that probably we've got in common, Paul Mort and John Latok. You know those guys?
Yeah.
They used to run an event called FEB.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at FEB one year, and whoever the speaker was talking about having a blog. This was years ago. And I was like, yeah, why don't I do that? And I literally went and just started one. So have a blog. It's a great way to get your content out there. It's a great way to position yourself as an expert, and obviously to dominate Google. And then once you've got your content on your blog, for God's sake, make the most of it. Don't think that when you've written one piece of content, that's the only place you can use it. You know, this goes for newsletters and digital email as well. Reuse it. You know, make more of it. You might need to top and tail it a little bit differently or format it differently, but when you've written a piece of content with one idea, make more of it, share it, reuse it, turn a blog post into an emailer, pop it on your newsletter and drive people through. Make the most of it. And then I would say as well, learn the kind of other skills of writing, which are things like listening. I mean, people say to me all the time, where do you get ideas for writing? Well, especially for fit pros, listen to your clients. Mm. They're asking you questions as an expert all day long. There's your content, because that's what people want to know from you, right? And then I would say just practice the skill. It's a skill and it's an essential part of your business, like a lot of other things. So devote time to it and practice it. Don't get sloppy with your writing. This is a bugbear of mine. I think everyone can be a writer now because of social media and blogging, which is great, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't care about quality. And there's a difference between being chatty and being sloppy with your writing. So, you know, don't forget, it's part of your business, it's part of your brand, it represents you just like your logo does and like your appearance does. So you know, approach it like you would any other part of your branding. Write how you speak, but just check for basic errors like spelling and grammar.
Yeah.
Take pride in your writing.
Apostrophes, Nicola.
Oh, tell me about it.
Oh, honestly, I've got such a hang-up on apostrophes and their misuse.
I know, people either leave them out or put them in when they're not meant to be there. Just all sorts of things. I mean, it doesn't mean you have to be formal or kind of prissy with your writing, because your writing should be part of your brand. But just, just take pride in what you write.
Like, take time to give it a proofread and maybe have someone cast a second pair of eyes over it.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Cool. That's helpful. I do like to write. I think once you get going, you get those first few sentences out.
Yeah.
And you're totally right in what you said, that in terms of content, you hear people say that a lot. Oh, what will I put on the blog? Will it be interesting? But you do get the content from your clients.
Yeah, from your clients, from your news, your Facebook news feed, from the news, from the mainstream media. Mm. That there's always stories that are about fitness and nutrition in some way. Most stories, in fact.
And I guess you can also jump on the back of things that are in newspapers, magazines. So there's always some sort of research out, isn't there? Research suggests that.
Oh, yeah, always. Mm. Lots of stats and, lists and things like that. Well, worst comes to worst, just give your opinion on something. Everybody loves a kind of debate anyway, don't they? And that's really what your clients, and therefore presumably your prospective clients, want, is your opinion. You're the expert.
Don't be a fence-sitter.
No, definitely not, no. Be balanced, but have an opinion. Because that's what people want from you.
And I know we were in one of the same lectures together at FitPro, Leslie Aitkins.
Yes,
lecture,
yes,
which was so, so good. And for anyone listening that is tuning into the podcast for the first time, if you flick back a few episodes, you'll hear Leslie's interview on the podcast. And it was really interesting because it was all about how your clients find you now, and if people do their research online, nobody looks in the yellow pages anymore, so they'll look for you up on Google, on social media. And writing's a really good way to set your stall out, isn't it, and set your first impressions.
It is, but that comes back to what we were saying about at least proofreading what you write, because anything you put out there is going to be out there forever. And people they'll dig around a lot more than you think, which is what Leslie was telling us, wasn't it? So, don't underestimate how much people can find out about you and your business online these days. So make sure every bit of content you put out is kind of on message and on brand, but that, you'd be happy for that piece of content to represent you, because it could be the very first thing that somebody sees about you.
Yeah.
And it could be the last as well,
I know you write a lot of copy for trainers for their newsletters as well, Nicola. So I've read loads of things right online, listened to loads of people speak on this topic, about how often should a newsletter go out? Does it have to be at the same time, on the same day, every week? Which is how I do mine. Does it have to be at any time, of any day? Should it be more randomised? How regularly should it be sent out? Have you got any views on that, or anything you've found that really works?
I'm not really best placed to talk about kind of when to send them in terms of open rates and things like that, because I'm not a sort of marketing strategist. But what I think is important is that they are frequent and consistent, and that's important with content as well as consistency, because what you're aiming for ideally is for your little tribe to really love what you write and kind of come to anticipate it, and for it to be a real positive part of their day, right? You know, whether it's coming into their inbox or through their letterbox, you want it to be read, so you want it to be a positive thing. So make it consistent, make it something they'll look forward to, and make it something that they can anticipate as well. And I think these days it's more and more important to think not just about, oh, how often do I send my newsletters, but what am I sending? So perhaps rather than just thinking about how often, and when we send them, it's thinking about who you're sending it to. So take a look at your list and segment it properly, and maybe think about sending a slightly different version of your email or your newsletter to slightly different segments of your list. I just think it's a little bit more thoughtful with your content to really, really target it and give people what they're going to be wanting rather than what you want to tell them.
Yeah, yeah. Make it relevant to the reader.
Yeah, definitely. You know, because I don't know, FitPro might have a list with people who are interested in boot camps and people who are interested in online nutrition and people who are interested in a 8-week body recomp plan, and those three people are going to want to hear totally different bits of content, aren't they?
That's good advice. I think whenever you put anything out there, whether it be social media based, newsletters, blogs, got to have your end user in mind, definitely.
Yeah, of course. Gosh, I mean, always think about what people are hearing rather than what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's all very well saying what you want to say, but if nobody wants to hear it, then you're wasting your time. So, you know, don't twist your message so that you're giving them what they want to hear, because that's not authentic. But, yeah, think about it from... I find with my clients that they often come to me and they're starting at the wrong end of the stick. They say things like, what should I say on social media? Or which social media should I be on? And I'm like, well, I don't know. Where are your clients?
Yeah.
It's not what social media you want to be on. It's being on the platforms that your targets are active on. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So switch your thinking and think more of what do you want to achieve and then work back from there.
Good advice. So also, as somebody who takes part in health and fitness massively, what advice would you give to somebody who was looking to work with a fitness professional? What should somebody who's looking to get into an exercise program, looking to take on a new challenge, maybe do something like you've done, whether it be endurance or bodybuilding, what should they be looking for in a really good fitness professional?
Well, I can only give kind of my own experience, really. And for me, it's always a personal connection. I mean, the very first online PT that I ever worked with was Kat Miller, who we talked about. Mm. And I'd actually been kind of, not stalking her, but I'd been kind of, I don't know, sussing her out online, I suppose, for a little while before I had the courage, I guess, to send that first email. And I'd been reading her blogs and I really felt that I got to know her. Mm. And it was only through that that I thought, yeah, I could work with this woman, because I really felt that I got to know her personality and, you know, the way her mind worked through her blog content and her Twitter and things like that. Mm. So I think there's got to be that personal connection there, especially if you're going to do a tough challenge with a PT, like a bodybuilding prep or something like that. You have got to connect with that person. If you don't, then the chances of success are so much lower, because, you know, you've got to respect them and trust them and feel that you can be completely honest with them. And then obviously after that, I think it comes down to recommendations, doesn't it? Word of mouth, their success stories. I would look a little bit deeper than the before and after, you know, the transformation stories. I personally would try and go digging around on social media a bit more and find out what's happened to those transformation stories 6 months down the line.
Yeah.
You know, because every PT can put up a great 8-week transformation before and after. But what I want to know is what's happened to that woman after the diet. You know, how's she doing now? And there you go. That's another reason, isn't it, to make sure your online content is giving the right message, because people will be digging around.
Yeah, I think both of those bits of advice that you've given just go to prove that you've got to have an online presence, because that's where people are going to suss you out and make their judgments on you, and that online presence has to be of good quality.
Mm. It does, good quality, consistent and authentic, because people are really savvy these days, and they'll get a gut feeling about whether you're can I swear on the podcast?
Whether
they're bullshitting or whether you know, whether you're just fronting and trying to like style it out with some persona, it just doesn't wash with people.
Yeah. People can see through it, can't they? What do you predict, Nicola, let's break this down a little bit. What do you predict for the next 12 months in the fitness industry? What new trends do you expect to see?
Yeah, I had to think about this. I think a lot of your podcast guests have said a lot of the good stuff already, so I would urge people to listen back. A lot of stuff about data gathering and things like that. I think in terms of the fitness world, I think the kind of the tribalistic nature of fitness is going to carry on and probably get a bit deeper, actually, because it just goes hand in hand with social media and with the visual side of social media with Instagram and things. So I think people are going to fall even deeper into their little tribes and be very loyal, you know, whether it's the bodybuilders and the fitness chicks or the paleo people or whatever it is. But I think in terms of for fit pros, I think you guys are going to find that you're going to fall into more of a consultant role and sort of be more holistic. So rather than just delivering training and nutrition plans, I think you're going to be more sitting with people and taking them through that whole journey of health and wellness, because I think in the future, you know, the near future, the ability that clients have to gather their own data even before they come to you with things like MyFitnessPal, with all the kind of on-body data gathering, you know, little watches and all the rest of it, I think it means they're going to come to FitPros already armed with much more of an insight into their own habits and their own, you know, downfalls and whatever. So I think that means that the FitPros will be taking that info and working with it rather than just prescribing.
Yeah.
And I think that will mean that you guys will be addressing a lot more than just training and nutrition. I think you'll be helping people with lifestyle, with mindset, with sleep and all those good things, which I think is great because you address those and your clients are likely to have much more success with, you know, the first thing they came to you about, which is their body and their fitness.
Yeah, and definitely a more holistic approach. And I agree with that. I mean, with my clients, I've been looking at sleep, stress, hormone imbalance for probably about the last 2 years now. And what a difference it makes personal training personal.
Exactly, yeah. Well, it's about people's whole life, isn't it? Which is exactly how it should be, because they're with you for, 1-2 hours a week?
Yeah.
That's great. What about the other however many hours it is?
Yeah, totally agree with that. So let's go back to the original question, but break it slightly differently. What do you predict in the next 12 months for the fitness writing industry, for copywriting, for what we'll see in magazines, newspapers? What do you predict?
Well, for the magazine world, I think it's obvious it's going to go digital. It already has. You know, there's a lot fewer paper magazines starting up and a lot more digital ones, which is great because there's so much more that publishers can do with digital, you know, with apps and online content. They can put video into magazines, and obviously it can be a lot more reactive and time specific as well. So I think that's very, very exciting. In terms of content and copywriting, social media, I mean, you can't ignore it, can you? It's certainly not going away and it's growing. What I've found interesting about watching the growth of social media recently is that things are moving away from, content is no longer just text anymore, is it?
Yeah.
It's very visual, it's very kind of image and graphics led.
Yeah.
Things like Instagram are huge, but that's still content to me. It's just pictures. Things like infographics.
Yeah.
There's just so much more now that you can do with content, but it all needs to be tied together with a story, with words. And I think email, I mean, it's already huge, and a lot of people realise how huge email is, but I think email is going to be the next thing that people need to pay attention to.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that's good. And what about apps? What do you think about apps in terms of content? So like we talked about MyFitnessPal, and there are so many other apps capturing people's data. Do you think that'll continue to grow?
Oh, gosh, yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. I mean, people are never without their phones, are they? I know I'm not, and I try and have, like, digital detoxes and all that, and yeah. I'm never, ever without mine. So, yeah, apps are great.
Cool. Well, Nicola, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you very much.
My final question is, if people want to find out more about you, more about what you do as the Fit Writer, where can they do that?
Well, I'm very mysterious, Katie. You know, I'm very, very difficult to find on. I'm like an enigma. I'm not an enigma at all. I'm everywhere on social media. I love it. You can probably track my every waking moment on social media, which is slightly disturbing. I'm just the Fit Writer everywhere.
Yeah.
And do come and find me. I love chatting on social media. Or if you want any advice or quick help on anything relating to content and copywriting, honestly, get in touch. I'm very, very happy to help. I do have a blog, again, The Fit Writer, WordPress blog, or just Google Nicola Joyce, fitness copywriter. That's me.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much. And everyone who's listening, please feel free to get in touch with Nicola. Send her a tweet. Follow on Instagram. Our gym selfies are epic. And thank you for listening. Thanks, Nicola.
Thanks, Katie. Bye.
You've been listening to the Katie Ballmer Cook Podcast Show. Don't forget to subscribe, share, and have a great day.